Good day, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Confessions of Extraordinary Catholics. I have a confession to make. I've got a lot of mixed feelings going on right now and thoughts about different things, and I'm just trying to pull this together a little bit. If I were to give this particular talk, this sharing, this confession, a title, it would be Cafeteria Catholics and Lattes with Almond Milk. Because I think it characterizes a lot of what we see going on in the church in America. Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the Archbishop of Washington, was on Face the Nation. And he referred to President Biden as a cafeteria Catholic. It's an appropriate word. And basically what he means by that, of course, is Biden is one of those Catholics that likes to pick and choose what to believe about the Catholic faith, as if you were going to a cafeteria. You're only going to pick out certain things. At the same time, I heard advertisements for churches, many larger churches. They advertised on Facebook and YouTube and other social media sites. And one was offering an Easter egg hunt. I think just about all the churches are doing that now. We're having Easter egg hunts. But they mentioned they were having plastic eggs with money in them. And I thought, well, what an attraction. If you have children, you go send them there or take them there. And my question is, how much money in these eggs? Do you have 20s or $100 bills? Or maybe we could have a competition with each other and see who has the most money we can put in the plastic eggs. And the hollow bunnies. They used to be all milk chocolate, right? But most of the bunnies in Easter baskets now are hollow. And that's been the experience of many people at this Easter season. It's just a hollow bunny because that's all that they really see going on. It's just a time to have an Easter basket and to pig out on chocolate. It's a hollow bunny. Well, I can't help but think, what is the church doing? I mean, really, what are we doing? We live in a nation that I believe is under the judgment of God. And much like the Titanic that struck the iceberg, we're on our way down, and we're offering a smorgasbord, a cafeteria luncheon to your own delight. And we're offering Easter egg hunts, which, you know, I'm not saying that it's all wrong. But if that's the message that we're giving, and that's the only thing we have to offer, it's a hollow bunny. If as a churches, a mega churches, we say that, well, come as you are. Come as you are, remain as you are, and leave as you are. But you can enjoy a nice latte while you're here. If you choose, it can be with almond milk. You see, we've kind of catered to what people want. And we're not giving them what they need. We're offering Easter bunnies and we're offering the plastic eggs and the lattes. And we're saying we're going to have a great, joyous time at this Easter. Come and celebrate it with us. But Easter itself is hollow without a Good Friday. Unless you embrace the cross, you can't really embrace an empty tomb. The two go hand in hand. You must have a Good Friday where Jesus died upon the cross to really appreciate the fact that he rose again from the dead. But we want our cafeteria food to pick and choose what we want. We want our lattes with almond milk. We want our hollow Easter bunnies. Solipsism. Solipsism is an interesting word. I know that many have never heard of solipsism, but solipsism is a philosophy. It's a philosophy that's invaded the church today. It's invaded many Christians today. Well, what is solipsism? Solipsism is the philosophical idea that only the mind exists, and we can only be sure of what the mind thinks. It's a philosophical idea that what goes on in your mind and my mind is what matters. Solipsism comes from the Latin solus, which means alone. My mind, my thinking, me alone, I determine what's important. And that reality has invaded the church. It's me. It's my thinking. It's what I want. It's what my doctrine. It's what I think I need that's important. In reality, this philosophy is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. At the end of the book of Judges, we find these words, the last verse in the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own sight. The NIV has it, everyone did as he saw fit. Remember in Judges, you had a cycle. You had a cycle where the people were oppressed. And what happened was God allowed them to be overcome by their enemies because of idolatry. Idolatry was the problem. And after they were oppressed, they did something very significant. After God raised up a judge, many different judges in the particular book, Samson, and there were others, that were very instrumental in doing something, in calling the people back to God in repentance. In fact, that was the message over and over again that Samson gave, that others like Gideon gave, that Deborah gave, different judges who called people to repentance, to turn back to God. But we read at the end of the book, there was no king, there was no judge, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That solipsism, where each individual determined for themselves what was right and wrong and what their morals were going to be, is the reality of the church today. So we say as a church, we want to bring people back. We want to bring them back, and let's put out surveys. Let's find out what people really want. So maybe they want a latte with almond milk. Well, let's give it to them. Let's have coffee bars, and let's have exciting music. Let's not put crosses in the church anymore. In fact, we have to change our language entirely. Don't talk about a cross. Don't talk about sin. And certainly don't talk about that word, that's a dirty word, repentance. No, we want people to come as they are. But not only that message do we give people, we want to have people stay as they are, to remain as they are, to be what they are, because Jesus loves everyone. And we'll take the cross away and just say, Jesus loves you just like you are. Stay as you are. Come as you are. Stay as you are. Not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since when do we have a gospel that says, stay as you are? When the greatest hope that we have is to change, not to stay as we are. And that puts the cross of Jesus Christ front and center. Because that cross means you don't stay as you are. You may come as you are, but you don't stay as you are. The cross means your life will be completely different. In fact, the cross is an invitation to die. To die to your own wants, to your own lifestyle, to your own priorities, and maybe even to a latte every once in a while. To die to the hollow bunnies and the picking and choosing what you're going to believe and rejecting the rest of it. It's an invitation to die. The Apostle Paul said it. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. That's the reality. It's an invitation to death. That doesn't mean there's no life. It's a different life. In fact, it's described in terms of being born again, having a whole new existence. But it begins at the cross. You see, that's what the church has to offer. Not to come and remain as you are. The world realizes they need something different. We all need something different. We all need repentance. We all need change. The Apostle Paul also said, we preach Christ crucified. Because this is the great hope of mankind, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It goes beyond that. Of course he rose again. But the good news is we join in with him. It's an invitation to have our own cross, to join him with a cross. It's an invitation to join with this resurrection. And that's the reason that Paul would tell us again in Colossians chapter 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And then he says again in a reminder, you have died. It's a whole new ballgame. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, when he comes back, you're going to appear with him in glory. You see, Easter is not just a historical reality. It's a reality in your individual life where it means nothing. It's a reality where you died and you rose again, or it means nothing. Without that, it's a hollow bunny. But we want to offer people lattes and cafeterias so they can choose what they want. We want to bring people in and entertain them to death and say, well, Jesus loves you just as you are. When people are suicidal and have mental illness and have dysphoria and are looking for something different, they want to change. That's the good news, the gospel. It changes us. We no longer remain the same. There's genuine hope in that. Christ crucified, new life and resurrection. That's where it's at. That's the good news of Easter. Thank you.